Hey, what's going on? Thanks so much for joining me here today on The Chalene Show, where we are going to talk about friendships. I'm going to give you my advice. I asked for your questions on Instagram. I hope you're following me. That's like a really cool place for us to connect. I really appreciate the conversations I'm able to have with you there. Of course, you know, you can always leave a message for me if you'd like. You can do that by going to my website. You'll see there's a little widget. We're working on getting a new phone number for you too, so you could just like call a number and leave a voicemail message. But the most direct way on the daily to stay connected is in fact Instagram. And so today what I will be doing is answering your questions kind of Dear Abby style with regard to friendships. Before we jump into today's topic, allow me to take just a moment to thank today's show sponsor, which is Organifi. You guys know how I feel about Organifi. It is my go-to. In fact, this is so refreshing. I have a glass of ice, fresh water mixed with Pure and Immunity. It's got just enough citrus. That's two of their products mixed together. I don't know if everybody likes the taste of that. I do. I love it. It's like an orange flavor. That's the Immunity kind of tastes like orange. And then the Pure has a lemony taste. And I mix two of them together. And that way I get everything I need for my immunity, my antiviral, my antifungal. It's just a great way to support your immune system every single day. And then I mix that with my Organifi Pure, which is, it's basically all the superfoods that your brain needs to help reach maximum mental performance. In other words, it's what I drink to help me think better, to help my memory, to increase neurogenesis. And get this, this is the other reason why I drink it. Their product is clinically proven to boost BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, by up to 142%. I guess I better drink a little bit more. Anyways, they've got tons of great products. Whatever your nutritional needs might be lacking or your palate might be craving, Organifi is definitely the company to check out. All right, guys. The cool news that I want to share with you, though, is that they've just upped the discount for Chalene Show listeners. It used to be 15%. Now you get 20% off all of their products when you use code Chalene. Again, it's Organifi, and I'm going to spell it Organifi.com/Chalene. That's Organifi.com/Chalene, and you get 20% off. Without a doubt, I prioritize my physical health, but mental health is equally as important. And that's why it was really important for me to find a company that was willing to sponsor the show that I thought was something could really benefit many of you, because I talk about therapy all the time. And the number one thing I hear from people is I can't afford it or I'm nervous to try it. And that's why I'm really super excited to introduce you guys to Talkspace. Talkspace is basically, it's an app that you can download that puts a therapist at your fingertips 24/7, 5 days a week. Talkspace works with thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 different specialties from everything like anxiety, depression, friendships, relationships. Yes, a therapist can help you also set and achieve your goals. Like some of you talked to me about that. You're like, I need someone to help me figure out how to set the right goals for myself. Your therapist at Talkspace can help you do that. And it just goes without saying that even your best friend isn't qualified to be your therapist, but you need one. As I always say, smart people do therapy. And this is a super affordable way, super convenient way. You don't have to get in your car and drive anywhere. You don't have to, you know, sit in an awkward waiting room. And as a listener of the podcast, you're going to get $100 off your first month. Talkspace is super reasonable. I've tried it myself, you guys. You're really going to love it. They're going to match you with a licensed therapist like today. All you have to do is go to Talkspace.com, or you can actually download their app. And then when you sign up, just make sure that you use the code Chalene, and that will give you $100 off your first month. And it's also just a great way to show support for the show, and it's something really great you can do for yourself. Again, that's Chalene when you go to Talkspace.com, and you can also just download the app from your phone. Smart people do therapy. Now let's talk about friendship. I want to start by saying I'm certainly not an expert at friendships, but, you know, I've had a few. And I like to think I've had a lot of success. I also like to think that I've worked through a lot of difficult moments, difficult times in my friendships, the ones that are really worth salvaging. And I want you to know that there are friendships that can and should last you a lifetime. So I wanted to take your questions about friendships and just give you my best advice. But that's all that it is. I don't know the particulars. I don't know your history. I don't know their history. I don't know your traumas. Like, trauma really does impact relationships, especially friendships. Did you know that your relationship with your mom, your relationship with your dad, and your relationship with your siblings impact your friendships today? Your very early childhood relationships affect your friendships today. All of those things do, which is why it's really important to, not to bring up therapy again, but, you know, there are certain things that if they just, these patterns just keep showing up over and over again in your relationships, at a certain point, you have to stop going like, why do people keep doing this to me? And you have to realize like, hello, you're the common factor. You know, I mean, I hate to break it to you, but like, if there seems to be a consistent theme in all of your friendships, yeah, well, I think it goes without saying, you just have to recognize your picker is broken. The way that you're viewing friendships is distorted, perhaps, or perhaps it's a matter of perception. And all of these things you can work through with a great therapist. Did you know that there are certified friendship coaches? Super cool. I'm working on getting one of them, who I'm a really big fan of. I'm working on getting her on the show. I'm not going to say anything about it yet, but fingers crossed, because she's just a wealth of information. And I mean, like, this is what she does. But when I did ask you, like, what advice is it you're seeking when it comes to your friendships? The number one most common response I got, drum roll please, was, how do I make friends? I want to make more friends as an adult, and I don't exactly know how to do that. That came up over and over and over, so much so that I will be devoting Wednesday's episode exclusively to that topic. So if that's the thing that you're struggling with, tune in on Wednesday. But for today, I'm offering my feedback as it pertains to your questions about friendship. All right, well, we're going to kick it off with a pretty tough one. I mean, a serious one anyways. Annie says, what do I do if I've stopped drinking, but my friends are still drinkers? I love them, but I want to leave them and I want to find new friends. I love that. I want to find new friends. Well, first of all, I support you in your sobriety and I say congratulations. I think it's amazing. I'm so proud of you. It's huge. And nothing is more important. Honestly, nothing is more important than your sobriety. And the fact that you are struggling with your circle of friends means that it is challenging your sobriety. I don't know the particulars of your sobriety, but assuming you have a sponsor or someone who you're working with, that would be my first suggestion, is to talk to them. I don't know if this is something that's really common when people first deal with their sobriety, but I have thought about that in the past, you know, going out to dinner with friends who I know are sober, and I'm just really conscientious about it and don't order a cocktail unless they say like, oh, hey, listen, you guys, everyone feel free to order a cocktail. Well, then I might, but I don't need a drink every time we go to dinner. So it's just easier for me to respect them. But it's interesting that you said, I love them, but I want new friends. That tells me that's a desire that you have. It tells me that you have in common with these people other than maybe partying or that lifestyle. And I'm hoping that you're going to adopt a new lifestyle and find all new things that bring you joy and happiness and avoid the things that are a temptation for you. So this is for everybody. Like, there just comes a point in time in our lives, I know this is true for me, where you just don't have the same things in common. So it might be that you've recently had a baby and now all of your friends are childless and single and you love them, but you don't want the temptations of going out drinking with your single girlfriends, and you want to be able to relate to a mom who's going through sleepless nights and breastfeeding and like all the things. Annie, my suggestion is this. Number one, I would communicate with your closest girlfriends, right? I don't know if this is like a group where it's, they're all casual friends, but if you've got some members of this friendship group whom you are closer with, I would suggest having a personal one-on-one conversation and explaining how it makes you feel and that you'd love to stay connected to them and doing other things other than going out and drinking and things that don't involve or revolve around alcohol. And be very clear about what it is you want to be included and what things you would rather not take part in, so that they aren't thinking to themselves, oh, we have to hide the fact that we're going out drinking, or we have to hide the fact that we're having this party, or do we invite her, don't we invite her? Make it easy for them. Set the boundaries yourself. Ask them to respect them. And if they don't, that's their problem. You are in charge of your sobriety. They are not. You are in charge of the life that you want to lead and the people that you want in it and the people that you want to surround yourself with. And this might mean that there's a period of time where you are forming new friendships, and that does take time. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk about that on Wednesday, but nothing is more important than your health and your well-being. And so it's okay if you need to take a temporary break. I don't think you need to break up with your friends, but I do think it is important that you communicate why in this fragile moment in your life, you need to do what's best for you and your health. And that is in no way, shape, or form a judgment of what they want to do, but nothing matters more. And you need to express that to them without feeling the need to apologize or any guilt. All right, Meg says, how do you let go of a friend that you know is really bad for you when you're super forgiving? Oh, Meg, this is going to sting a little bit, but I'm just going to say it. You let go of someone who you know isn't good for you because you love yourself enough to realize you deserve better. And I understand that there might be some nostalgia. Maybe there's parts of your friendship that are really fun and rewarding, but you know this person isn't good for you. So it's kind of like Annie giving up alcohol. Like, that's a friend who was fun, but she knows that friend isn't good for her. And she thinks enough of herself to believe in herself to realize that she can let go and say goodbye. And I think we have to do that with friends sometimes. I don't think it has to be like a formal thing. I don't think we have to say like, I need to break up with you because you're like a really crappy person or you're a really bad influence on me. That doesn't feel good. No one needs to hear that. But I do think it's okay to communicate that you're in a place in your life where you just need different things and you need to protect your well-being and just kind of put it on yourself so that that person isn't left wondering if they've done something wrong. But Meg, I want you to know that when you think highly of yourself, you will want to spend time with people who elevate you and who are good for you because you love you and you can't imagine taking that very precious time, because I mean, there's nothing more precious than our time, you guys. Let's start right there. A lot of the questions you asked revolved around this person doing this horrible thing, these people who I know aren't good for me, this person who doesn't treat me well, doesn't respect me. And it almost felt like you were asking a question, but you already knew the answer and you needed someone to give you permission to cut them loose, to grieve the friendship and move on. The one thing that is most valuable to all of us, the one thing that none of us can get back, is time. Time is so precious. Your family deserves more of your time. You deserve more of your time. You deserve more time just doing things that are joyful and that make you a better person, that help you to de-stress, that help you to become healthier. You deserve to have more time to spend with the people who make you better, who bring you joy. So the fact that you're questioning yourself and debating whether you should be taking the thing that is the most, like the most valuable thing you have is not your money or your credit cards or your bank account. The most valuable thing that you have is your time. So think about how foolish it is to ask yourself if you should be giving the most valuable thing you have to someone who doesn't value it. And don't forget, that time isn't just the time that you're spending with them. It's the time that you are spending invested in thinking about the situation, in the composing of long text messages, and the worrying about what they think or what they're going to do, and the just the drama of it all. Like, that is valuable time and energy that you cannot get back. Okay, Liz asks, how do I avoid, and actually quite a few people ask this question, how do I avoid not feeling hurt when I have been left out? First, we have to remember that no one can hurt us without us giving them permission. In other words, we have to first give them that much significance and power over our self-worth and our value. We have to do that first in order to actually experience hurt. That's why, as I've said many times on the podcast, I don't think I've ever in my life, I don't think I have, said that someone has hurt me. I felt disappointed. I have been sad or saddened by someone's actions, but I will never give somebody that much power over my value and self-worth that I will allow them to hurt me. Okay, but let's talk about this exact situation. So you've got a group of friends and you find out that they have just, I don't know, scheduled something or made plans. Maybe you saw it on Instagram. That's the worst. You know, it feels really and you are like, well, how come no one invited me? Here's how you handle it. Don't take it personal. Give everybody that's involved the benefit of the doubt. The worst thing we can do is start crafting a narrative in our own head, which may or may not be true. And then we make it worse. And then we assume that this person said this or they intentionally didn't invite me because fill in the blank. Who knows why, but there's probably one person who you can have a conversation with. Do not, and this is my personal opinion, as soon as you begin thinking about having a conversation and you begin describing it as a confrontation, you've already made it very adversarial. And no one wins when we approach a conversation from the standpoint of being enemies or putting somebody on blast or confronting someone. Nobody wins. We get defensive and everybody walks away unhappy. The best way to do this is just to have a low-key conversation with the person who you need to have that conversation with, where you are not coming across as a victim, where you're not making any assumptions. Don't assume that you were unintentionally uninvited or not invited. You just don't know the circumstances. I've done this myself. If it's something I wanted to be invited to, very casually, I'll reach out to that person and say, it looks like you guys had so much fun. I was so wishing I was there. Next time you're doing something like that, please make sure I'm on the guest list or please make sure you let me know because I would love to be a part of that. That's it. And if it continues to happen repeatedly, well, then now you know you weren't meant to be a part of this group, which means they don't deserve you and you deserve better. So don't take it personal. We weren't meant to be friends with everyone, and we certainly weren't meant to be lifelong friends with everyone. And yeah, friendships are complicated. They are complicated. And it's crazy because we know that relationships are hard and that they take work and that they're not always comfortable. We know that about marriage. We know that about the relationships with our parents, our siblings, our children. We know that they take work. We know that relationships at work take work, that there's going to be tough times that we've got to work through and we're going to have to communicate and we might have to go to therapy. But it's funny how we have this preconceived notion about friendships that they're supposed to be easy, that they're supposed to be effortless, which makes zero amount of sense. The best, most rewarding relationships that I have, the relationships that have been 15, 20, 30 years, are the ones that have gone through ups and downs, seasons, times where we spent a lot of time together, periods where we didn't talk as often. They've gone through really uncomfortable conversations, growth, changes, and even kind of categorizing the way I sometimes feel about a particular friend. Like, you know, there have been friends who I've considered like best friends. Maybe it was because of proximity. We worked together or we were spending a lot of time together because we were doing a project or whatever it was. And then the relationship maybe changed, might have changed because of proximity. It could change because our priorities shift. And when your priorities shift, oftentimes your relationships do too. And I don't know if it's from the movies or books or why it is that we think relationships, friendships, aren't supposed to change and aren't supposed to be difficult and challenging and that they're not supposed to take work. The most rewarding friendships you will have are going to take work. They're going to take difficult conversations. They're going to take maybe periods of time where you have to take a break. Someone has to apologize. You both have to come together. Like, it's no different from any other relationship. I just think we have unrealistic, especially ladies, we have really unrealistic expectations when it comes to friendships. Oh, this is such a good one. I can so relate to this one. Melly asks, how do I maintain healthy relationships? I'm a woman who has ADHD and RSD. I can tell you personally that my ADHD has definitely had perhaps a negative impact on some of my friendships. In particular, those friends of mine who do not have ADHD. Like, I have a few friends who have a little bit more like Brett's personality, where they're always on time. They forget nothing. They're so well organized. They can multitask, but at the same time, they're super focused. And it's hard for them to relate to me and not assume that some of the things that I do and say and the way that I behave aren't personal. And I know that that can at times strain a friendship. And I'll just be honest and say the friends that I tend to get along the easiest with are those who also have ADHD tendencies. And I think it's very common for people who have Asperger's to have a group of friends who also have Asperger's. It's very common for people of autism to feel most comfortable with other people of autism because you just kind of get each other. If you do have ADHD or some other type of neurodiversity or social variability that's very specific and it makes you behave a certain way, it's wonderful to connect with a community of people who also have that. And that's why it's so great to be in an online community, to reach out to groups locally. It's also wonderful to identify those traits in other people and celebrate them. Like, the more we can normalize these things, and it's not just like neurodiversity, it's anything where you see that you have something in common with someone, and like attracts like. That's why we tend to hang out with people who are our height, make about the same amount of money that we make, from the same socioeconomic class, tend to have the same interests and hobbies. Like, these are the reasons why that happens, is because we're most comfortable with, they get us, they understand us. I've met plenty of great people who I have quite a few cool things in common with them, but from a personality standpoint, I just don't think they're going to understand the way my brain works, and that's uncomfortable for me. I want to be around someone, like, as you guys know, my very best friend, Dr. Michaela Sarno, we spend a ton of time together. She also has extreme ADHD. I get it. I am not bothered in the least when I can tell that she's drifted off and I'm in mid-conversation, or when she switches the topic midstream, or when she gets lost driving to my house. Like, these things, I get it. And I find it endearing. I understand it. I find it adorable because I do the same things and I can appreciate it. Ooh, next question. How to put aside political differences? Yeah, I don't see that as being difficult unless that's all that your friendship is based on, or if in fact your friend or you, that's like the only thing you have in common, or it's the only thing you want to talk about. I've got plenty of friends who have very different political views than I do. At least I assume they do, based on the way that they post in social media, based on things that they've said to me. I personally, when they bring up politics, I don't talk about it because I don't want that to be a part of our friendship. We have so much more that unifies us, so much more that we have in common. But I do understand that for some people, that is simply a deal breaker. My suggestion would be, of course, again, I don't know the particulars, but if it were me, I would just say, like, we have so much that brings us together. I appreciate so many pieces of you. I think you do of me. We have a great time, blah, blah, blah. Can we just leave politics off the table? Like, there's so many other things to talk about, to bond over, to help each other, to lift, to connect, to learn from each other. There was a period of time where I had a friend in my life who identifies as an atheist. And, you know, when she told me that, I appreciated that she felt comfortable enough with me to be able to tell me that, that she knew that I would not try to, you know, convert her to being a Christian. And with regard to my own beliefs, as it comes to my Christianity, I believed that the best thing I could do was to listen, to understand why she didn't believe in God, and to try to just lead by example. Not to push Christianity or the Bible or Jesus down her throat, but rather for her to see who I am and how I behave and why I believe what I believe and how much my faith gives me peace, and to hope that that might influence her. That's all. And there are many times where she told me, you know, you're going to turn this atheist into a Christian if you keep that up. Like, really cute little things like that. And I think there's probably some truth in those comments that she's made to me. If I had allowed her beliefs to stand between us, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to get to know her, to understand her, and to hopefully have some influence. Next one. This is from K.R. Kamira. How do I give advice to a friend who can't take it? You don't. If you have someone who can't take advice, it means they probably haven't asked for advice. And the fact that they can't take it means that they're not going to do anything with it anyways. All you will do is waste your energy and your breath. You'll waste time worrying about it, thinking through it, developing a strategy, offering them advice. Like, you will waste so much time feeling frustrated. It's pointless. So stop trying to control another person. If you can't accept them and love them as they are, then you probably shouldn't be friends. There's something there where you want to control that person. You want to be right. And that, which is quite different from someone coming to you and saying, you know, can I get your advice or feedback on something? When someone does that, oh, that's just such a beautiful invitation. Like, anytime a friend reaches out to me and says, can I get your advice? Or can I share this with you? And it's something that's really private and personal. I'm so honored and so touched by that. But I've learned over the last, you know, 30 years of long-term deep friendships that I had to stop giving advice where it hadn't been asked for. So even though that's my nature, obviously, hello, you listen to the show, you know that's my nature. Now what I will do is, if I just cannot help myself and I've got that type of relationship with this particular person, I might say, listen, you have not asked me for this advice, so please ignore, delete if you want to, but I can't help but want to suggest fill in the blank. But you haven't asked for it, so again, I apologize if this is not something you need or if it's not helpful. But as a friend who loves you, I just wanted to say this. But I can express that without any expectation that they're going to follow through on it because they didn't ask for it. It's quite a different story, however, when you've got that friend who continually is asking you for advice, continually asking for your guidance, your mentorship, your feedback, your input. You give it to them and it almost feels like they're like, oh, thanks, I guess I'll do the opposite. What do you do with that? Well, at a certain point, you have to realize your own role in the situation and recognize that you're the person who keeps giving them advice when you know, based on their track record, they're not going to take it. So in the future, when they ask for it, you can simply say, yeah, wow, I don't know what I would do. That's a really good one. I don't know. Wow, you really stumped me. And don't give them advice. You know, if you stop giving them advice, because they're not going to follow through on it anyways, then you will no longer feel frustrated. I've had to do this with so many friends who will later say to me, like, yeah, I guess I just wasn't ready. Even though I knew what you were telling me was the right thing to do, I wasn't ready to do that then. And so to this day, I'm telling you, I can think of like three friends right now who, when they ask me for advice, I beat around the bush. I pretend like I can't come up with anything because I don't want to feel the frustration. Which is, it's me, it's not them. I don't want to feel frustrated when I feel invested in their solution, but they're not ready for that, if that makes sense. So rather than giving them that advice or, you know, investing myself in helping them reach a resolution or do the right thing, I just am there to listen and they'll figure it out on their own because that's what they're going to do anyways. Oh, this one is great. Aaron says, what do you do if your kid has a best friend and you don't exactly dig the mom? Like, the mom is not your jam. Been there, done that. Yeah, I couldn't do that. So first of all, I'm really particular about my energy. I think it's like my time is the most valuable thing that I have. My energy is really important. You know, I need it for you. I need it for my family. I need it for a very small group of friends. I don't network a lot. I don't try to make new friends. Instead of going wider, I try to go deeper. So there's a stage, especially for moms, where suddenly you're kind of like forced to spend all this time with other women, usually, who, like, your kid is best friends with their kid, but you're like, we just would not normally be hanging out. That's tough. That is tough. What did I do? I would go out of my way to make sure we didn't have to hang out because I'm an introvert. So hanging out with someone where I'm just making small talk kills me. Like, it destroys my energy. I would rather like pluck my eyeballs out. I cannot do it. So if it was like a mom who I just could not handle hanging out with, I would make every arrangement possible so that we didn't do like these group play dates where the moms just sat there and pretended they were friends. I would say, you know, you drop them off here at this time. I would greet them at the door and be like, oh, hello. Okay, let's let little Tommy come in here. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Like waving at the mom, like in her face, like, bye-bye. Okay, see you later. You know what I mean? And or I would always pretend like I was really super busy. She'd be like, oh, you know, if I was going to drop off Brock or Sierra and if the mom was like, well, come on in, have a cup of coffee. I'd be like, oh, I would love to. I just have so many phone calls to make or I've got work, whatever. And you don't have to feel guilty about that. You don't have to be friends with everyone. Your energy is really important. Your mental health is critical. And if someone is not your jam, they're not your jam. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you mean. It doesn't make you unfriendly. It means that you care about yourself and you care about the people in your life whom you do need to invest more time and energy with. And it just doesn't make any sense to let a stranger or someone who you don't connect with make a withdrawal from your energy bank. It's just too valuable and you don't need to feel guilty about that. Oh my gosh, there are just so many questions I wanted to get to, but I'm going to just stop with this last one. You guys let me know if you want me to continue with this series. I can definitely do that. Let me know on Instagram, okay? Send me a DM and say, Shalene, answer more of those questions about friendships because we can definitely do a longer series. Again, as I said on Wednesday, Wednesday's episode is going to be devoted to how to, as an adult, make friends. But for now, let me finish up with this last question, which is from Nicole. One-sided friendships, how do I cope? Well, the first thing we want to look at is responsibility bias, which means basically we all think we do more than anyone else. If I walked into a room of 100 women and I said, I want those of you who believe you do more in your friendship than your best friend to raise your hand, most women, anyways, would probably raise their hand and think that they're doing more. In most romantic relationships, in most even work-related relationships, you know, even your role at work, we all believe that we're doing so much more than everybody else. We just have this bias where we don't see what other people are doing or what they're contributing. And this is especially true of friends. We each have a gift, and it often relates to our own love language. One of you is the planner. One of you is the person who does all the communicating. One of you is the person who brings the fun. One of you is the person who does words of affirmation. One of you is the person who always shows up with little gift bags. Like, we each have something special that we hopefully bring to a relationship, but we often only see the thing that we bring. And because we're looking for the thing that we bring, we're looking for our friends to be bringing that too. But they often bring something very different to the relationship. Now, not always. There are certainly one-sided friendships. There are. But even in a one-sided friendship, and I'm sharing with you right now personal experience, there was a period of time where I was so annoyed with my very close group of girlfriends. I'm sure maybe a couple of them are listening right now, because I did all the planning, that no one ever invited me on a trip. Like, I always putting together the trips. Why was it always me who coordinated these special things that we did? Or why was it me that made sure that everyone, you know, stayed in touch? And then I realized, well, that's who I am. That's just what I do. And I probably wouldn't like it if somebody else did it anyways, because I'm a control freak and I like doing that. But I'm not the one who cooks breakfast when we're all together. I'm not the one who leads our prayer circle in the morning. I'm not the one who gets everyone to take shots at 2 a.m. and stays up until 4 a.m. dancing and entertaining everybody else. But that's a necessary component. Like, those are fun things. Those are special things that those individuals bring to our friendship group that I don't. And that's what makes our friendship group special. And I just had to stop just looking at what I was doing and recognizing that the reason why I was a person like kind of planning and keeping everybody together is because I was doing that. And it's just like at work, there's that person who steps up and takes on more responsibilities than everybody else. Well, if they stop raising their hand for everything, people will stop giving them everything. So I know what you're thinking. But if I don't maintain the friendship, well, then the friendship may fizzle. Who knows? Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. I've certainly tested that out myself. I believe if you feel burdened by the effort you have to put into a friendship, well, then pull back, not to test the person, not to punish the person, but just pull back so that the amount that you are devoting, the amount of time and effort and attention that you're giving to the friendship feels appropriate, feels good for you. It doesn't feel like a burden. Because if it feels like a burden, that's not fair to you and it's not fair to them. And you will build resentment. And I've done this in the past where I felt like I was putting in a lot more effort than a friend. And instead of feeling angry and resentful, I just thought, well, let me just give them some space and let me just pull back. And let me do that for me. You don't want to pull back in an effort to test someone or to see if they will rise to the occasion, because that's not a true friend. You want to pull back so that you feel good about the amount of energy that you're putting forth. But oftentimes what will happen is you will find the other person will be like, oh, wait, that's funny. I haven't heard from so-and-so in a while, or we haven't gotten together in a while. And you will likely see them reciprocate, because friendships do need to be reciprocal in order to feel good. And you guys, it's okay to communicate that, not in a confrontation, but in a loving conversation that starts with you. You know, the more we can make it about ourselves, the more comfortable it is to have this conversation. If we're truly friends, we should be having conversations, not confrontations. We should be able to come to each other and say, you know, it just makes me feel, I don't know, a little sad that I have to wait 2 weeks to hear back from you. And I'm sure this is me, and I know you're super busy. This probably stems from some early childhood wound that I have, but I should probably tell you that when I have to go weeks without hearing from you, and I've sent you quite a few text messages, it just stirs up these really negative memories and feelings for me. So I just want to share that with you, because I know you wouldn't want to hurt me, and I also know that you're busy, but when you make an effort to respond, it really means a lot to me. Just have a dialogue. Have open conversation, healthy conversation, the same way you would in any relationship where you care about the person. There is so much to unpack here with friendships. And, you know, I think this honestly is an area where women tend to struggle more than guys do. I don't think guys need to have as many male friends as females do. I think many of the women that I speak to put this incredible pressure on themselves to have 20 lifelong friends. And I just don't know that that's a realistic expectation. I can tell you this, a great place to make friends, online friends. I've got so many people who are great friends of mine, like some of my closest friends who I've met through social media, which is a pretty cool thing, especially if you're an introvert. Like, it's a wonderful way for me to connect. Like, I'm not the kind of friend who you're going to be spending a lot of time with me. We're going to spend time together, but not a lot of time in person, because I really spend a lot of time with my family. I spend a lot of time with my husband, spend a lot of time working. And then I like to take girl vacations, girl trips, but I like to connect on the phone. I like to connect, you know, online. And so a great way to meet people who you already have a lot in common with is by joining our pod squad. There are people who listen to the pod squad, are people who listen to Build Your Tribe and the Chalene Show. And there's a link if you look in the bottom of my show notes under the show art, and you can just join us. We're on Facebook. It's a super cool place to connect. Anyways, we're going to talk more about this on Wednesday. In the meantime, please let me know your feedback. What did you think about this? What do you think about friendships in general? What additional questions do you have? Do you want to do an additional series on this? Like, let me know. I want to hear all the things. I love you. I mean that. And I'll talk to you soon.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, Did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.